Happy Easter. How about that? In your Bibles, if you brought them with you, we're going to be in chapter 16 today. And today, I hope you see something that I saw this week as I've been reading through this chapter, that the story of Easter has been visually on display since the days of Yahweh speaking to Moses in the wilderness. But before the days of Leviticus, the days of Abraham, Isaac. Isaac, wake up. It's time to go. Dad, what are you doing? It's early. Isaac, my son, it's time to go worship the Lord. Genesis 22, listen to these verses. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a worship offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son, Isaac. He cut the wood for the worship offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So Abraham took the wood of the worship offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a worship offering? Verse 8, listen to these words. Verse 8, Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for the worship offering, my son. So they went, both of them together, to go worship. Easter is the center of our faith. The sacrificial death and resurrection of our Lord. There is nothing that happens in the scriptures which could top the pinnacle of this moment for us. Since the days of Adam and Eve being driven out of the garden, we longed for this moment to be brought back to our Father and reunited in him and with him. But the sinful nature that covered us is this barrier that blocks us from being near to him and drawing in. But the death of Jesus on the cross is the purification for our sin, and his resurrected life is the life eternal that he promises to you and me. It's the ability for him to claim that all of us can be raised from the dead, for death holds and has no power over him. Amen? Amen. For them, in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, please hear me when I say this, the chapter that we're going to read today, the Day of Atonement was the center of their faith, the center of the Torah. If you were to think about it as a mountain, you imagine the Day of Atonement being the peak. Like everything in Genesis and Exodus has led to a moment where the people are washed clean and Adam could re-enter the garden to be with God. Like everything is longing for this since the moment they were driven out for their sin. Longing for this. And then everything after this moment through Numbers and Deuteronomy is the right living with God that comes out of being close to him. See, two things are being taught, and you're going to see this more in the next sermon next week, that there is a balance of loving God and loving one another that you and I are bound to in our faith in Jesus. And up till this point, we were being taught how to come back to the Father whom we love. And then after this moment, it's how do you live with the Father whom you love and love one another. But if we miss the significance of this chapter, if we somehow read over it too quickly and don't meditate on it, ponder it a little bit, it would be like us reading the New Testament and skipping the cross and the tomb. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? That what we're going to read today for 1,000 years, 1,000, their faith built up and flew out of, hung on the Day of Atonement. This is kind of a big deal. But I can't just assume that all of us remember the stories in Leviticus that got to this moment. So let's look at the first half of Leviticus as if it's one side of the mountain and we're climbing up to the mountain peak. So what you would see at the very beginning is the drawing near or the bringing near things. Leviticus starts in the midst of a crisis. The tabernacle has been built. It's called a tent of meeting. But we can't meet with God. Moses is on the outside, for God's glory has descended in the form of a cloud and landed on the tent, and Moses cannot enter in. There is no meeting in the tent of meeting. For the people of God built a golden calf. They made a marriage vow to God and then broke it that very day. Now there is separation. But the Father, in his love and in his wisdom, makes a way and gives them a gift, a way to draw near. There are offerings. He calls them the worship offering, the gift offering, the peace offering, the purification offering, and the compensation offering. Five different ways of us coming back to our Father, depending on the situation and the circumstances. Those are the bringing near things, the word in Hebrew for offering. But you and I can't bring those things right to God, for he is holy and they are holy, but guess what? You're not, and neither am I. I'm not. We need a go-between. We need a holy mediator. God gives the priesthood, Aaron and his boys, and says, we will commission you. We will create a priesthood. And in 7 days, this creation takes place. And on the 8th day, they celebrate. The holy ones who will take the offerings near to Yahweh and offer them up, they are ready to go. And on that special and sacred day, it says in Leviticus 9, Moses and Aaron go into the tent. They meet with God in the tent of meeting. And then after that, God's glory sends fire out of the tent and it consumes the offering on the altar. That offering is transformed into smoke, as the Hebrew word says, and it ascends to the throne room of God and they watch it go up. What an incredible thing to see an offering that you and I could bring be transformed and ascend to the heavenly throne room. What could be greater? What could be greater? Us meeting with God, him receiving a gift from us. You imagine the closeness and the nearness they must have felt with him? And then we did it. We did it again. As Adam and Eve in the garden grasped something that they weren't supposed to and shattered the relationship. As the children of Israel built a golden calf as God had promised a brand new covenant relationship to them and shattered that relationship. Aaron's two boys, Nadab and Abihu, take fire and incense, coals, and they place the incense on it and it creates smoke. And the two of them, these young priests in training, take the smoke and they enter the tent. Where are they going? You're not allowed to just march into God's presence with smoke as you choose. There was only one day of the year where one specific person would dare to take smoke to the presence of Yahweh. And it's Aaron, the high priest, when he goes to meet with him on the Day of Atonement. But these boys think that they are God and they can decide how he is worshiped. And they barge into a place that was not meant for them. And in their disobedience, their death, their brokenness, their sin collides with the purest thing that's ever existed. God destroys them. And they're done. Fire comes out of the heavenly holy place. The throne room of God releases destructive power. And we've desecrated the holiest place on earth. On the first day of the priesthood. God, in his great love and mercy, is not done with his kids. He's not done with them. He says in the very next chapter, you saw what happened to Aaron's boys. I'm going to teach you what is good, what is not, what is clean, and what is unclean, what is holy, what is not holy. I'm going to reveal to you what is death and what is life. That way you can draw near to me. So the purity laws come up. What animals can you eat? Not an animal that consumes other animals' life and brings death. You can't touch that animal and approach Yahweh. If you are having a child, if you are passing blood, you are losing life, you are incomplete, you cannot approach Yahweh. If there is a skin disease on your skin and that skin is dying, you cannot just bring that death into the presence of Yahweh. You must be washed clean. If you have a funeral for someone in your family and you touch the dead body, do you understand that this isn't the cruel rules of a slave master saying to his kids, you will do whatever I tell you to do? That's not the case. He's saying to them, things will happen in your life. Well, you will encounter death. It's going to happen. You're going to bury people. You're going to have kids. It's going to happen. But the next time that you want to come to me, I'm going to make a way for you to come to me. I'm going to make sure that what happens to these boys when they brought unauthorized smoke into the tent, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to you. Wash and be clean, then you can come home. So these purity laws are actually the gift of a loving dad saying to his children, this is how you will be washed clean, changed from death to life, and then you can draw near. Imagine how stunning that would have been. God made a way again. The offerings are away. The priesthood is away. The purity laws are away. He is bound and determined. He's going to bring us home. He is going to bring us home. Whether you like it or not, he's going to find a way to bring us home. This takes us, friends, to the Day of Atonement. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read a portion of chapter 16. We won't read all of it, but I encourage you, you can read the rest of it at home, but we're going to read, I think it's five large sections of it to understand more deeply the significance of this story. Let's begin. Chapter 16 of Leviticus, verse 1. Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that's on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But, listen to that verse, but in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a purification offering and a ram for a worship offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, shall have the linen undergarment on his body. He shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a purification offering and a ram for a worship offering. So in light of what's happened, God has said, here is the way that you can come to me in the holy place. Listen for the little symbols in this. Aaron must take off his high priestly garments, Remember, he wears a crown. He has a chest plate of jewels with the nation's names, the tribes all written on him. It's an incredible display. He takes it off. What does he put on? Simple linen clothes. Almost as if when he's entering into the holy place, he's not doing it as high priest, Aaron, son of Moses, like brother, not son. He's coming as an average person. He's coming as a human. Nothing distinguishing him as high priest at all. Linen from top to bottom in a set apart way. It's holy. How beautiful is that? When he comes, there will be purification and there will be worship. He will pass through the waters as he comes before God. Let's keep reading. This is verse 6. Aaron shall offer the bull as a purification offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before Yahweh at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one for Yahweh and the other for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for Yahweh and use it as a purification offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. This, friends, doesn't make sense. We've just been told in Leviticus that a purification offering is one animal. It will give up its life, and its life, its blameless life, will go to the altar where you can't go, and the blameless life will go on your behalf to cleanse you. That's why it's called a sin offering, a purification offering. But in this circumstance, it needs two. Just in this unique circumstance, not one, but a second. He will roll the dice. See, Aaron the high priest has lots with him. That's part of his priestly garment. One of these will be chosen for the Holy One, and the other one will be cast out. Now, you're going to notice in the scripture multiple times it says Azazel. Now, you are probably familiar with it. I was not, so I had to look it up. This was an evil spiritual being. It's not talked about much in the Bible. Later in Jewish history, Azazel, in a way, is referred to as the Satan, as the deceiver. But in their day, this was the evil spiritual being that existed in their realm. And God is saying to them, you will take these two animals, one blameless, that one comes to me. One will carry the sins of the world, of you, my people, my nation, and it will be cast out to the evil one. That's where the sin belongs, out there, not in here. How about that for a symbol? Do you see why we're reading this on Easter? Do you see how already, over 1,000 years before Jesus took his first step on the earth, they had a symbol in their culture where the sin of the people are carried away when a blameless life is offered to God? You think they should have been ready for Jesus when he showed up? You think his sacrificial death should have just been setting off all of the symbols that they had been practicing? Let's keep reading. There's more to go in this story. This is verse 11. Leviticus chapter 16. Aaron shall present the bull as a purification offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and his house. He shall kill the bull as a purification offering for himself. He shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before Yahweh and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small. He shall bring it inside the veil, put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. He shall take some of the life of the bull. So he takes some of the blood and he's to sprinkle it with his fingers on the front of the mercy seat, that's the east side, as he walks in, and in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the life with his fingers. How many times? Seven times. Seven, the number of creation, the biblical number of completion. You see seven all across the scriptures. Aaron takes the blameless life given on their behalf, and he carries this life in. But he's entering a heavenly throne room. Do you understand? He's creating the clouds that you would imagine in the throne room up above. He's recreating the top of Mount Sinai, where the cloud descended and God dwelled in the cloud. For you to see God would mean your death, for he is holy and you are not. So Aaron is told by God, recreate the cloud of Sinai, created in my presence, and then step in. Bring blameless life with you and a complete amount of times. Make complete purification for yourself. Blameless life, blameless life, blameless life, blameless life, blameless life, until you've redone the 7 days of creation. Now it is clean. You can go. Oh, it's amazing. It says later in this story, you can read more of this yourself. He's going to step back out of the holy place into the center of the tent, and he's going to sprinkle this life on the altar that's inside the tent, because there is an altar of fire on the inside. And then he steps back further outside the tent to the main altar where all of their offerings are given. And he again takes blameless life and sprinkles it several times. You see, he's making it clean. He's cleansing it. He's taking the blood that makes us white as snow, and he's washing these holy things, because the environment has been polluted by the death that we bring into God's presence. And yet in this symbolic act, he's washing clean everything from the presence of God right out to the courtyard of the tabernacle. But what about this other goat? What about this goat on the outside? Let's read again, verse 20. And when he had made an end of atonement for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall present the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. Three times he says it. Three times, the same thing, three different ways. He shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Can you imagine this? Normally, it's just blameless life going into God's presence. But this time, this one will go out. And we've already heard about the laying on of hands. But normally, the person offering the offering would lay one hand on the animal, signifying, you are going in my place. You are my substitute. I'm commissioning you to go where I can't go. For the animal is blameless, and you are not. But in this circumstance, their high priest will take both his hands, lay both his hands on the goat, and he will confess the sins, iniquities of the whole nation. So you imagine their high priest, dressed in common linen clothes, with this goat, whispering to it, or yelling, who knows, saying, this is what we've done wrong. This is what we've done wrong. This is what we have done wrong. We confess our sin. We confess our sin. Now carry it. Carry it far away and never come back. Carry it as far as the east is from the west. Never come back. Take our sin away for us. Thank you. Who knows? Then they give it to the man who is waiting in readiness, and he takes it, and off they go. You imagine the nation of people watching this? Knowing that symbolically in this moment, this animal carries all of the mistakes you've ever made, and someone takes it out. and you would watch your sin symbolically leaving your camp. You would watch it go out into the desert, and it would get smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you can't see your sin anymore. Could you imagine a day where your sin is completely taken away? Like, gone. Like, you can't see it, you can't imagine it, gone. And that's what's being celebrated in this Day of Atonement. Oh my goodness. You'd almost think they had read the Easter story already. Let's read one more passage, just the final two verses of this chapter. Let's read 33 and 34. It says, "He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall make atonement for the priests, for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement will be made for the people of Israel once a year because of all their sins." And Aaron did as the Lord commanded Moses. Forever. You imagine God saying to his people, "We will never stop celebrating this. For the rest of time," that was 3,500 years ago. "For the rest of time, we will gather once a year. We will remember the day that sin was taken away. We will remember the day that blameless life went in." See, if you were to sum up the themes of this Day of Atonement, you might see these three different themes. You might see the cleansing of the priesthood, where they're washed clean. You might see the cleansing of the people as a nation, when they are washed clean. And then at the end of it, you could read these verses, they're in chapter 16. They take these animals of the worship offering, and they surrender them in complete devotion to God. The burnt offering, the ascension offering, was a complete act of worship. It was what Abraham was told to do with Isaac, a worship offering. There is a cleansing. There is a carrying away of sin. There is a washing of the water. There is a dedication and a worship. Every year the family would gather. Every year they would act this out. And every year they would hope that one day they would be forever washed clean. But every year they would have to do it again and again and again. Until when? Take a guess. Oh man, if you don't know where we're going yet, you've been sleeping the whole time. We're going to Jesus. You ready? Imagine God sending his son. Imagine God providing the lamb to go on your behalf. Imagine Jesus, the one who will be carried outside of the camp to bear the sins of the people. Imagine the one whose blameless life is fit to go through the curtain into the dwelling place of God. Imagine. Imagine what would happen on that day when Passover and the Day of Atonement are merged together. Imagine. Imagine that in this moment, God once again gives the offering. But instead of a blameless animal, which was set apart but wasn't powerful enough to save, what if the blameless lamb, what if it was the very Son of God who had come to take away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist told us? What if on that day, outside of camp, up on the hill where they crucified people, on that mount, what if the loved Son of God died as the worship offering? What if you listened really carefully, and in the background, as the sky went black, as creation froze in that moment, you heard the sound of a ripping curtain? For Aaron no longer had to walk through the smoke. Aaron's sons no longer had to carefully enter God's presence to sprinkle blameless life several times. What if you heard the sound of that barrier between us and God being completely destroyed from the top to the bottom? What if God's plan was to take you and me, not just the high priest, but to take us into that holy place so that we could dwell with God forever? Friends, every year as we gather to celebrate Easter, every year as us and our kids and our grandpa and grandmas, as my boys sit and we celebrate this, they are learning the story of the Day of Atonement. They are learning. God told them forever they would practice this. Forever this would be their statute. And for 2,000 years, friends, we have not quit celebrating Easter and the gift of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And guess what? Spoiler, we're not going to quit. If we got to do it for 2,000 more years, guess what we're going to do for 2,000 more years? We're going to keep this statute forever, celebrating the day when sin went out and blameless life went in. Could you imagine if you could tell Adam and Eve the story? As they stood on the outside of the garden and watched these two cherubim standing beside the fire, blocking the way back to eternal life. Imagine as Aaron the high priest goes up to that veil and creates the smoke. Do you remember what was stitched on that veil in the tent of meeting? It was two cherubim. And he would pass through the cherubim back into God's presence. Do you imagine if you could tell them about the day when Jesus not only would step into the Holy of Holies, but would tear that ugly curtain down from the top to the bottom? Gone. Set free. Oh, friends. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there. He laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, laid him on top of the altar, on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered it as a worship offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Isaac, the Lord has provided the offering. Isaac, we're going home. As he's undoing the ropes, Dad, what happened? God gave the animal. God gave us the offering. You have been set free. You've been set free. And they went home together. Imagine the nation of Israel out there in the desert, destined for death, knowing that they are too broken to enter God's presence. And God says, here's two goats, blameless life in, sin carried away. I have provided this gift for you. You are set free. Imagine Jesus hanging on the cross and his disciples so confused. Why would the king die in our place? Why wouldn't he live forever? Why would he die a sacrificial death? Because the king is the lamb provided by Yahweh. You have been set free. Friends, this morning, I can't tell you the difference that this would make in your life if you've never been set free. Because that freedom is offered today. This isn't a story from thousands of years ago that's null and void. Today you can experience this freedom. You heard those testimonies, Jeff and Steph. They have experienced this freedom. Friends, do you want to experience this freedom? The Lord has provided on the mount that you can be set free. I hope that this Easter, as you reflect on the death and resurrection of our Lord, that with fresh eyes you see this story and you realize that this was the great gift of God so that the children of God could be set free. Wow. Let's pray together. We're going to sing one final song in victory before we go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you are still today setting people free. Lord Jesus, I pray for our church family. I pray, Lord Jesus, for people hearing this right now, that if they have not experienced this freedom, that they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you provided the Lamb in their place for them. You have provided and they can be set free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for anyone who hears these words and has not been saved by you, that their sin was carried by you like this animal out of the camp to never come back. And if we repent of our sin, if we turn from it and confess it to you, you are faithful and just to forgive it. You will wash us clean. You purify us like that offering. Your blameless life was given because I am not blameless and you went in my place. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for anyone hearing my voice who has not trusted in you to know that the curtain has been ripped in half and they can go right in. They can have access to the throne room of the divine. You, like a gracious father, have been calling out to them, drawing them home. And they can come home now. Lord Jesus, all of us, we thank you, we praise you that you would go to the cross for us. We thank you and praise you that you carried away our sin. And we thank you and praise you that death could not hold you. You are far too powerful of a sacrifice and offering for that. That you rose to new life and we will celebrate that forever. That's our promise. We love you. Thank you so much for the celebration of Easter and the Day of Atonement. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand with us for one last celebratory Easter song as we finish off our service this morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Go in peace this Easter Sunday.